Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 27th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you, and welcome to those joining us live. We're glad to have you in chat and joining in the conversation. And thank you to those catching up with us in the archives. We appreciate you taking time out of your week to listen. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm. Do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We're all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, on to tonight's topic. We're doing a part 2 to last week's discussion of trust and forgiveness. Weighty topic, to be sure.
Well, it is. You know, Michael, I've thought about it a lot this past week. About how it's, again, you know, we talk about the macrocosm and the microcosm, right? And I was thinking even about how countries with diametrically opposing social values still find ways to negotiate with one another without buying into each other's stuff. And how then do we, as individuals, also negotiate with each other, even though we have very different philosophies? And you wonder, say, okay, how does that lend to forgiveness and trust?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we put the forgiveness aside again and look at what things we can trust each other with, you know, and in those boundaries of finding some middle ground,
right?
If we're going to get along.
And that's the thing. It's about that middle ground, right? Because if you take every last thing when it comes to the makeup of a human being, our values, what we think is right and wrong, what we cheer for, what we root for, what we want, and you really lay it all out. I'm talking, you know, soup to nuts. We're like 90%. We all want the same thing. 90% of the same thing. We want generally peace. We want to be able to pursue what makes us happy. We want a lot of times families or at least a sense of community. That's universal. You know, nobody wants to see a dog hurt in any movie, and I don't care what political party you belong to, and that's universal. And there are things like that that are such commonalities that those things truly could bind us together closer if we would not put up the other stuff. And I'm not going to downplay some of the other stuff. Some of the other stuff is pretty serious, and there are certain things. I'm talking about the far extremes. I'm talking about white supremacists. I'm talking about, well, any, you know, any radical supremacist, fundamentalist, extremist who's willing to use violence to try to, you know, push an agenda like that is, that's, you know, obviously crossing a line. That is obviously an extreme, but that is obviously something that we deal with in the real world, and there is no compromise with that. But amongst the vast majority of us, we can find commonality.
I had a conversation with somebody the other day about, I think when we're young and maybe a little naive, because I think age teaches us a few things, we hope, is when we're young, we want to give everyone the benefit of some kind of doubt because somebody gave us a break. Somebody believed in us, so we want to believe in somebody else. And we don't know where those boundaries are yet, because my second part to it is we assume that everybody wants to be an evolving human being. And both of those points are just not true.
Well, here's the worst part is not everybody's definition of evolving is the same. Mm-hmm. I mean,
exactly.
Because I think most of us want to evolve, right, in a lot of ways. But some people, that just means technologically refining things. They want to hold on to traditions that make them feel comfortable. And I will also say a lot of that persistence in tradition are those kind of just comforts, you know, that kind of feeling of being some part of something old, and it makes you feel part of something timeless, and it kind of just gives you that, you know, little warm fuzzy. But my opinion on traditions is they're only as valuable as the good things they're bringing into your life. If they don't bring any good into your life, then you shouldn't hold on to them.
Well, and I think this is where we have to be careful about forgiveness equals trust, because just because you are forgiving, in other words, you know, accepting and giving to a human being or another group of people, doesn't mean we have to trust them with our own lives, you know, kind of live and let live. And, you know, some of those folks, that's what they do with themselves, and that's got to be fair enough. But where those boundaries are that bring some kind of harm into my life or my family that I see fit, but then still, how do we say hi as neighbors? Mm-hmm. You know, how are we respectful? But I think, too, when it comes to more intimate, like going to the microcosm in learning how to forgive ourselves for things that we maybe aren't proud of, and then be in more, you know, personalized, intimate relations with others. And I'm not meaning just like an intimate partner. I'm talking about emotionally connected with other people.
Being open and close and being vulnerable.
Exactly. And it's difficult to trust others with, you know, those little secrets we all have in ourselves. And then, you know, we do, you let that out there and somebody brings it up at a house party, you know. That's not cool either. So we're learning how to, and we're all learning this. It's not something that there's any great answer to. But we're all learning how to be sharing, but with limitations. Now, we would all hope that we could just be who we are with no limitations at all, but it's just not reasonable. There has to be regard for others. There has to be an interaction with other people, knowing that we're all different and we're all going to screw up. I think that's a given.
You know, oh, yeah.
I mean, to think we're not going to.
I mean, there's only been one person who's never made a mistake, and we all know who that person is. It's me.
Who would that be?
you
know,
obviously.
So I think that, you know, I look at the big world picture, and I look at the really tiny picture of, you know, moi in daily life and all these other interactions. There are some people I just don't want in my life, and it has nothing to do with being forgiving or whether or not I care. It's just, it doesn't add anything to my life. If anything, it causes stress because I have to be on my guard all the time. You know?
We're just, you're talking about me again, right? It's too late. You're in a contract. You have to be here.
Michael, yeah. I would sit down with you anytime. And we,
no,
you
I love
and
you.
I could talk forever.
We can.
But
enough.
I think that, you know, we do have to draw some of those boundaries. Now, again, this isn't even so much about physical harm as it is psychological and emotional harm.
Which leads to physical harm.
Yeah, because we internalize that and we make ourselves sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being forced into having relations with people, you know, that kind of stress us out
all
the time isn't healthy either. And that could be in the workplace. It could be with family members. It can be in a number of situations where we have to learn to find that middle ground. And sometimes there is no middle ground. You say, I got to walk away. You know, this isn't good for me. And I have to leave that relationship, or I have to leave that job, or I have to leave this. But I think the human dilemma, if I can go this far, and it's always been a dilemma for me, is how do we get along if we were all put, let's say even with all the people we don't like, we're put in a situation of survival, and there's 100 of us. How do we find that middle ground? How then do we, you know, find that place that has nothing to do with forgiveness, nothing to do with trust, but what is that fundamental thing we can all agree on and work from there and maybe never build full trust, but partial trust? And that's a question that's been on my mind for a number of years. And I don't know as I have the answer to that, because it's a very difficult thing to do. When people are of different mindsets and emotionally attached to what they believe.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it was something I'd wanted to address. You know, can you rebuild trust, and how do you do that? And, you know, what you're talking about here, I think, is very reasonable, entirely understandable. And, you know, it just makes me think of something we were talking about last week where, you know, there is a different kind of trust where you can trust that somebody is going to be who they are based on their past behavior. You can trust that. You can trust that somebody's going to probably do something like this or something like that, because it's proven behavior. Words, while not entirely meaningless or not unimportant, words are not nearly as powerful as actions and behaviors. And that is, I think, kind of the crux of it too. There is a certain security that we bring to ourselves in how we compartmentalize the world around us, and we do it. You know, I trust certain people in my life to do something or to act a certain way. Not that I would trust them with everything, or that I would trust them with, you know, something from a different part of my life, or, you know, trust them as the, you know, well, I don't know. What does a non-religious person call a godchild? You know, like the godparent to my child or something like that. But you understand what I'm saying. There are these, you know, different circles of concentric, you know, trust in your life. You have your closest friends and your trusted family. And then beyond that, you have, you know, good friends, and, you know, then you have acquaintances and maybe work colleagues, and then just, you know, hopefully generally society. But, and the expectations and demands for trust differ in each of those circles.
Hmm. You know, I guess you said something really important there about the different kinds of trust. And I can trust that whenever I'm with that somebody, there's going to be a fight.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know,
I trust that every time, you know, I encounter that individual, there's going to be some heated moments.
Sure.
Or, you know, I trust that'll happen.
Well, you know, on the other side, too, I trust that even, you know, even though it might be somebody that, I don't know how to say this. I have friends that I don't agree with them on everything on, but I trust that I'm going to have a good spirited discussion about it. And I trust in their, you know, that they want certain core ethics and things like that. They just are, you know, not on the same page I am. And I strongly disagree with them. I think they're, you know, I have what I consider to be good reasons, but I trust them to try to approach it in a legitimate way from their point of view, but I also trust that we're going to have a good conversation out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I guess to try to throw the other way too, even though you're not, it's, you know, we're talking about trying to kind of breach those culture war divide trusts. And I think that if, as long as we acknowledge everybody's humanity, we're going to get through this.
Well, no, that's interesting. You know, Dr. Frame, Dr. Zach Frame is in the house. He says, some betrayals are unforgivable. Some things, I think, can be repaired, but only if both parties are willing. Otherwise, it's futile. So I just, as I read that, Michael, I was thinking, okay, how does North America and China, diametrically opposing cultures, mm-hmm. beliefs, you know, economic, everything, how then do they agree to get along? And it's money.
Yeah, I was going to say, their combined love for, you know, Marvel movies.
Yeah, and you know, economics. So it's,
well, it's mutually
like
dependent.
Share money. And then it occurred to me just at that moment, too, a lot of people stay in unhappy marriages because of money.
Absolutely.
You know, or...
Or because they, you know, don't feel secure enough to be self-sufficient on their own. And that could be either the, you know, man or the woman, or however they self-identify.
And maybe someone can't be self-sufficient, you know.
Well, they might not have the skill set.
A lot of reasons.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could have been, you know, it could have been stifled. It could have been, you know, there are a lot of people in a lot of parts of the world, and not just, you know, the third world, but even in the first, where it is still common to have very young marriages, you know, very young girls being married off. And that is... Well, I mean, I'm sorry, regardless of what my point along with the comment you were making, something that just, that thought just overrides me. How do you trust the world after that, after you're not given the opportunity to, you know, grow and to become your own person and to choose yourself? But I'm sorry, that's a different tangent. But nonetheless, you understand what I'm talking about in the other broader context. It's people don't always have the opportunity to learn those skills naturally.
You know, Eileen just said in the chat, too, what's unforgivable for some people may not apply to someone else. And we have to remember to not judge just because it wouldn't fit into our lives.
Right.
I'm totally on board with that, Eileen.
Sure. There are some people that I have known, people that have had healthy, non-monogamous relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me, but, you know, for them, it's not an issue if it's, you know, an affair outside the marriage. It's about your values. It's about your expectations. I'd say it's also about your agreements, because they have an understanding. If you don't have that understanding, then it's a breach of that agreement that you had with that person, and that makes you doubt their fidelity in the future to honoring, you know, the relationship.
Yeah, and Audra's saying yes. And how do you even know what to do when, you know, as you were saying earlier, Michael, about trust and bridging it back, like, how do you know what to do when, I guess it's just making those decisions for yourself and knowing what fits for you at that point in your life.
And yeah.
I think we have to really dig deep sometimes. And we're all here, metaphysicians, we're all exploring the human condition, you know, exploring our universality. And digging deep into who we are, mm-hmm. not just what we are. And understanding a lot of things that we like or want or believe in today is emotionally based and unlimited information.
Well, but, you know, it's a wonderful phrase. You know, and I'm not going to be ashamed to admit it was, you know, until I was well into my teens, like maybe even almost 20, before I really understood the meaning of this phrase from Albert Einstein. A little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. And when I originally heard it as a kid, I was thinking, well, does that mean like knowledge is dangerous or knowledge is power? I don't know. But later on, I understood it. It is a little bit of knowledge, just a small amount of knowledge is a dangerous thing, because you know enough to be dangerous, but you don't know enough how to be, you know, you don't know the wisdom. You don't know enough to know the full context of things. And because of your limited knowledge, your lack of context makes your knowledge dangerous.
Well, and I think I think how we place importance on that limited, you know, knowledge or that limited feeling or that time in our lives, you know, we tend to amplify what we think we know and believe in and who we are when it's all very limited. But that's part of the process.
That's why we have to have such a thing as trust in the first place, is because there will always be far more that we don't know than we do. We have to often take people at their word. When you go up and ask somebody for directions, you're taking them at their word that they're pointing you in the right way. And, you know, there are people out there that just like to mess with people, that just like to, you know, be mischievous. And that's part of life. And that's why we have trust issues.
You know, what I had to realize in my journey is that it wasn't so much that I didn't trust others. I mean, it's pretty easy at some point to look at people and know who to trust, who not to trust, and then realize that something will always get by you, you know, because you don't know what you're looking at. The biggest thing is to learn to trust yourself and know that you can manage anything that comes at you.
Let's bring this around full circle, too. You know you can manage everything that is going to be coming your way, just like you said, Dr. Vicky, and I was just going to bring on to there. And when you miss it, learn to forgive yourself.
Exactly.
And
I've had a couple of marriages I've had to do that with, Michael. I did not see that coming. Did I not see that coming?
I think each and every one of us has, you know, our version of something like that, and it's just part of the human experience. What would it be to be human to not have some immense, you know, regret that you can carry around?
But, you know, in my case, and I got somebody in their wisdom looks at me and says, well, I thought you were psychic, you know? And I go, wow. You know, because it's always easier to see somebody else's life, not necessarily see your own, because you're in it and you're emotionally attached and you don't look for anything wrong.
It's the forest and trees, right?
Exactly.
So
it goes that way. So, it, you know, things can always get by us. But, you know, learning to trust ourselves and our judgment again.
And our own ego is a huge influence.
Pride,
Our preferred narrative. And we're all human. We all have it. We all have a preferred narrative of what we want to be true.
Like a woman I know of in her fourth marriage who says, this one will not fail. I don't care if it kills me.
Well, never say never. But, you know.
But we don't want to be wrong at the same time. And we have to acknowledge when we are and be okay with that. So that trusting yourself again.
And with all this uncertainty, with all this darkness that we have around us, you know, can we trust in a better future? And can we trust, well, let's put it not just without action. Let me rephrase that to, can we have trust that we can build a better future, that it's a real possibility?
Well, maybe your earlier point of looking at trust in a new way, can we look at a different future?
Right.
Might be, you know, more appropriate than saying a better future, because what is better? What's better for you and me is different than somebody in a different country saying, I want a better life. Let's have a different life and working towards something different. Because as I see it, we're not learning from our lessons very well. You know, we talked earlier, Michael, about how history is bound to repeat itself, you know, and are things any different now than they were in the human condition than they were before? Because there's always some tension. There's always some anxiety.
There's always elements of every society that is, it's always going to rear its ugly head. It's always going to be fear. It's always going to be all of the kind of the more negative emotions that might tend to dominate in the balance of things in terms of fear and xenophobia, of prejudice, bias, and a lot of times, you know, really a lot of insecurity that leads to an anger towards the other. And it harkens back to a very real human desire for survival to conform to a community standard. This is something that was, you know, pivotal for our existence in the, you know, early days of our, you know, earlier days of our, you know, existence as human beings. We had to survive. We had to work as a cohesive unit. You had to be part of the community. There were, you know, very real, immediate reasons that, you know, just a lack of conformity just wouldn't fly. We're beyond that now, though. We have evolved, and we have evolved intellectually to a point where we can handle more complexity. And I feel and I'm going to say I feel this way. I hope in it. I dare say I believe in it, but I hope in it that we have evolved in a level of wisdom as well that is beginning to approach. Well, it's lagging. It's going to take a while, but it is slowly beginning to approach the technological prowess that we have.
They reach the point when we have to realize that the hard way, you know, and that's that too. And when you're thrown up against a wall, you have to say, oh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Dr. Zach has said, and I want to address this before we move on to some cards. I love this conversation. We can go on forever. But Zach says, what if the betrayal is to yourself? How do you learn to trust yourself again? How do you work on repairing those bridges? Mm. And that's the ultimate question. And all I can contribute to that, Zach and anybody else who is curious, is take a breath, feel the shame of what it is that you've done to yourself, feel that guilt, feel the lesson, feel it. And I'm going to say, though, only, I always say put a clock on it, otherwise you can really get eaten up by those things. It's like, give it 10 minutes. If you're so embarrassed, you want to die kind of thing. And just go there for a minute and process that in a faster way and say, I screwed up. And it's okay to say that to yourself. And say, I had a really stupid moment. I had a really, that was dumb. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever done. I had no idea that whatever, I would do that, and retrieve yourself and set it right. Because I think it all depends on what kind of betrayal you're talking about. If it's really off the wall, you've had a mental break, but it's setting yourself back on your due course and integrating all those parts into more of who you are now. And my reminder to myself is continue to become more of who you were born to be without the contamination. And it's because we're all learning to be human. And I know I have talks with my kids about this very often, and my oldest reminds me, some of the greatest things that you've said to me, Mom, that get me through the hard times is that I'm a spirit learning what it is to be here. Because if I take it the other way around, I'm screwed. And in that, you are this perfection in progress. You're a process of, learning what this is all about. You are constantly evolving and just learning about being human. So, learning to trust yourself again, own it. And integrate it, assimilate it into your life lessons, and more of reminding yourself you're growing into more of who you were born to be without the contamination. And 'cause everything is a contaminant in some way, spiritually.
Yeah.
I'm of that mind.
Well, one person's contaminant is another person's fuel.
Well, that's true. But
unfortunately,
for me, I know you're right. But here's the thing: we can all take things different ways. I was driving my car the other day. There's another guy in another car coming around a corner, and he's laughing. And he looked right at me, and he's laughing. And I looked down to see if I spilled something on myself. And I said, that's just dumb. He's not laughing at me. He's just laughing in his own world. And I thought, is there something wrong with my car? Is there something? What's he laughing at? So, you could take that. And I kind of had to chuckle to myself. And just, oh, that was a dumb thought, Vicky.
That's so common, though. We all think that, everybody's thinking about us all the time, right? But I can only imagine. If I'm not listening to something about like history or, like an audiobook or something like that while I'm driving, I'm listening to comedy, a lot of stand up or comedy podcasts. And a lot of times I'm laughing hysterically while I'm driving. And so people could be looking at me and, yeah, unless my window's rolled down, they have no idea what I'm listening to. Or worse yet, sometimes I get bored listening to music. So when I'm at the gym, I would listen to stand-up comedy or podcasts or something. And so I'd start, if so, usually I'd keep, kind of chuckle or something, but
Yeah, I
something
know.
sometimes would hit me just out of the blue and I would just, just start laughing out loud.
Well, again, it's just that something when you're on the other end of it, you have to remind yourself, I know that that's somebody in their world. Even if I spilled something on myself, yeah, it's kind of funny. I
No,
just didn't see it. That's
can't
got to
take
be
yourself too
okay.
seriously, that
So
old
it's
adage.
about,
But
that self-trust, that self-love, that, and I know that's so cliche, but we're all a work in progress. I think it's time to start drawing some cards here, Michael. Anybody who wants a card, please put your name in the chat, and we shall
Absolutely.
begin. Inner Oracle self-discovery cards, followed up by a tarot as a support card, and we'll see. Take a little peek.
All right, we're gonna have
Thank
some names flooding in as we catch up here, but yeah, this has been a good discussion.
Yeah.
And trust, I trust that we can have a better future, that we can build one. It's not just gonna happen, but I
I
trust
know.
it's possible, and I trust we're on the right path. Fingers crossed, salt over my shoulder. Ah, we have a name up. We have Dr. Edward. Dr. Ed, I'm going to not call you Tardy Eddie. No worries to one of our regulars, as he's saying in chat, joking to our other listeners. Dr. Edward, I have number 28. Do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, that's supported with the Temperance card, Edward. And I think all it's saying here is a reminder to be patient at times. We know that you know and understand the do no harm, do right. But patience. Sometimes we're a little bit impetuous or, move too quickly or make a snap decision and it's, we have to think about things. It's just saying, at this moment, and that's my feel of this message for you, is ask yourself what good would come of it before you say something or make a decision or act. And I think I'm isolating this to something that's very close in time, like the next day or two. So somebody says something sharp to you, breathe and think about it. Let the air blow. That's what I want to say. I hope that makes sense. Okay. Whatever. We'll see. What do you got for Mike? Michael? Are we here? Are we?
Well, it's not
You're
as if
muted,
I've
weren't
never
you?
muted myself before. Sometimes I have to cough, I mute out of politeness because I'm a very considerate person. And then I forget to turn myself back on when I'm starting to read. So, Dr. Mike, congratulations. You have a wild card tonight, wild card number seven, Hope. All right. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Ooh, Mike, I want to say don't let anybody take the wind out of your sails because it's got the seven of clubs here, supporting that hope card. So it's kind of like you're hopeful of something, but somebody might be a little bit of a downer, and say, oh, are you sure? Kind of thing. And so it's what I want to say is protect your hope and your inspiration and your motivation from anybody who's negative. And my sense is even over the next few days, this conversation, just put your wall up, nice little bright light, you know, glass jar, and say, yeah, that had nothing to do with me. So well, let's not protect protect your own hope is what I'm saying.
Don't forget to protect your hope against those people that respond to everything you say with an "well, actually" comment too. So you got to watch out for them too. Be careful.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we have Jamil next. And hey, another wild card. Wow, sequential. All right, I've been shuffling these all night. I don't know. We have wild card number 8, freedom, right after wild card number 7. Had to happen eventually. Freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
3 of clubs in support of that, Jamil. And, oh, 3 just likes to be happy. 3 likes to be a visionary. 3 likes to see good things. And freedom with the 3 of clubs, you like to be optimistic about changes, things that you're building, and, you know, what you see for your future. And this is just reinforcing that for you, that, you know, while we might live in some type of limited world or world with a lot of, you know, Debbie Downers, no offenses to Debbie, but it's limitless. And you're charting a new course for yourself, and I just want to reinforce that autonomy for you to make those decisions. So power to you. That's what I say.
Love hearing it. All right. We have Eileen next. I have number 36, gratitude. Let's see. Number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Well, in this case, the 6 of diamonds is, I think, in reference to an exchange of value for value, specifically some money. I would say either money is coming your way or it is that you're giving to someone else. And I'm not quite sure about this, Eileen, but it is that gratitude to be able to do that and to share in that. So I'm going to say there's a little moment of abundance going on here that is, I don't know, I feel this relief and this joy about it. So it's exciting. I think there's good news coming that's money-wise.
Very nice. And Wendy pointed out that Eileen had this card March 23rd, so, yeah, talking about abundance. All right.
Awesome.
And up, my chat was getting a little scrolled up. Where are we at here?
Wendy. Our cardkeeper, Wendy.
All right. Wendy, I have number 18, evolution. Let's see. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control, and resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Ooh, Wendy, I got the death card in support of that. Don't freak out. That's actually a really good thing, because evolution supported with the death card is rebirth. So there's a big change here coming and a birthing for you. And it's not what I call some kind of start new beginning. It's like this graduation of you growing into yourself and evolving and having more comfort. So it's like the old you has come to pass and the new you is stepping up and forward. That's really exciting. I love that.
That's exciting. That is a definite shift. All right, and I believe we have Ronaldo next. And let's see, we have number one, perfection. Good card. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Well, fairness and equitability is what I'm going to add to that, because I got the Justice card, and I thought, well, what is that in reference to? Perfection, the Justice card, and then the King of Spades comes up here, King of Swords, and I'm thinking, you know, it's the perfection is in a negotiation, perhaps, where there is some equitability and having some insight to be able to come to terms. Not unlike what we were talking about earlier tonight, you know, about how do you find that middle ground. And even in that, how you're negotiating these relationships with people is perfect in itself. You know, and there is some evolution there. So fairness and equitability is what to keep in mind. So that's a message there for you. Hope it somehow makes sense.
All right.
And
Audra. All right, let's see. Audra, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. All right. Again, if I pull them ahead of time, be able to get to it faster, but I feel like it's more spontaneous and accurate if you just pull them on the fly. Meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof. Good card. I'm not sure we've had that one in a while.
No, but you got the Two of Diamonds, and I flipped two at the same time, Audra. I got to go with it. The Two of Diamonds and the Ten of Hearts. That's a great message. Meaning and purpose, Two of Diamonds is more about balance and the juggling act of finances and, you know, finding that. But your drive comes from your family and your purpose to that. So this is, I tell you, there's nothing more motivating than, look, we got to eat, huh? So, you know, it's that, oh, I'll make this happen. Absolutely. But I also see resourcefulness in here for you, Audra, and you're thinking a little more creatively and what is good for everybody. And you have a tremendous amount of family and extended family support. So I would say this is a great amount of optimism and you finding that renewed sense of purpose, and it's, you know, fortified, reinforced kind of thing. That's exciting. Good foundation.
Very nice, right. Very nice. I think that's everybody, if I
think it is.
If I'm not mistaken.
You know, Michael, I want to thank everybody for the feedback. I know I've said this before. I'm not saying this based on ego or anything, because I'm just as surprised constantly about the messages that come through and how they come through. And, you know, it's just these things that are channeled in that unconscious, subconscious way, and I'm the observer of that. And I have to tell you, I think I've said this before, when I go to do a reading for somebody, I say, oh, can I do this? And today I had a client, she calls me every year for her birthday reading, and I said, you know, I think you need some food allergy testing. And she said, well, you said that the last time. And I said, well, and I said, but why do I... And the word popped in my head as clear as day, like on a chalkboard, marjoram.
And marjoram?
And I said, marjoram, spices and marjoram.
Hmm.
And I said, I'm seeing little flakes and marjoram. And she goes, oh, my God, I'm hooked on marjoram. She said, I eat it all the time. I'm on my second bottle in the last few months. I said, ooh, maybe you're overloading on marjoram. And I said, sometimes it's not that you can't have it. Maybe you need to cut back, because sometimes our bodies don't like it, even though we like it. And I thought, I was shocked, and it still surprises me, and I'm glad it still does. I never take this for granted at all, is how did I, out of all the things in the universe, would I pull marjoram out of the air? I was going to say something else. But, you know.
Well, the air works. The air works. That's, you know.
And she said, Vicki, that's crazy. I eat it all the time. You know, that and rosemary. And I said, yeah, but this is where I think some food allergy testing would be a good idea, just to know and do some muscle testing on your own, you know, and see, because maybe once a week is enough instead of every day.
I don't know.
You know, and I'm always surprised at it, and that's letting the flow of life, and, you know, I'm like everybody else. I have my days, too, if I say, whoa, I wonder what's going to happen today. No, as opposed to, oh, what's going to happen today? No, no.
Just brace yourself for it. You're like, ah, what's coming down the pipeline? Come on, what's bring it on. All right, let's have it.
But life is a mystery.
It is. You know, well, and life is varied. Life sucks. But life is amazing. And life is beautiful. And life is ugly. It is all of it. And that's the problem and the wonderful thing. And
Michael, I got to tell you, I just saw a clip, a nature clip on baboons, and I thought, oh, I'm just
bag.
So, oh, baboons are vicious.
Oh, yeah,
they are. I thought, I am so glad I haven't incarnated to be a baboon. That was on my mind, and I thought, oh, is that your Buddhist memory talking, Vicki? Because I don't think we're going to do a baboon.
Well, you know, I don't want to, you know, throw baboon feces in our feces house, but I'm sure we've had, to borrow a pun, that we've had things in our history that, you know, we're not too, you know, proud about when it comes to viciousness too. But
that's true. That's
again
true.
You know, when we talk about the spectrum of life, you know, that is kind of one of the great things about being human and one of the worst things about being human. We, you know, like it or not, more than a lot, at least as far as we know, experience a lot more of it. We experience the full spectrum of it. You will find, you know, you will find no better soul in the world than a human soul. And it might be rare. There might be just a few out there that are just truly epically wonderful and caring on every level. And you will find no darker and no more devious soul than a human's out of all of the animal kingdom. It's because our intelligence allows us to express the full spectrum of what I consider to be nature. This whole good, evil thing and how, and you know, these things that human beings are expressing right now is not just, you know, localized to humanity. It is an expression of the natural world, and it is an expression of our, a lot of our, you know, instincts on survival. A lot of the things that cause people pain, a lot of bigotry, all of those things come from those very tribal and very necessary instincts to survive a very brutal world where we were not yet necessarily the apex predator. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm sorry, I was just reading chat too. And before we get too far along, Dr. Zach Frame would like a card as well. And thanks, Wendy, for throwing that out there again. And I look up and I do see. Yep, so we definitely want to pull the card for Dr. Fran.
Okay.
Let me grab mine. And I'm sorry, I'm fighting the dog off. He's trying to get to the cards and get my attention too. So I'm battling this vicious, vicious animal, this carnivore that's in my room here. And I'm getting to the cards. And, Dr. Zach, I have wild card number 4, Unknowable.
Ooh.
All right. There are mysteries in the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and you change change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leanings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. Love that card.
I do too, and I love the Lover's card, Zach. So, you know, and again, we don't have to take that in an intimate way. We take that in a way of passion, energy. And Zach knows the tarot, so he'll know how to, you know, translate that. But unknowable, it's simply saying, Zach, follow your passion. Where does your heart lead? And, you know, I know that we have to use our intellect and our sensibility, but where is your heart pulling? Now, I'm inclined to want to say to you that there's a different kind of tug when you feel an intuitive, I have to go there. You know, that's not on ego, that's not on intellect or anything. It's, I'm meant to go there. So it's that following your passion, but that intuitive sense, that spiritual passion that says, okay, that's where I've got to go. So I think if there's a change in your life right now, Zach, it's just that reassurance to you, follow your heart. It knows where to go.
Always good advice. You can't go wrong, especially when you have a good heart like we know you do.
Yeah, you sure do. Well, what a night. Thank you very much, Michael. Thanks to everybody in the chat.
And it's kind of our little...
sorry?
Go ahead.
I was just going to remind everybody, next Saturday, go to the school website, IMHS, and check into the grad time, and you can tune in to this year's graduation. Don't miss it.
Absolutely.
Like, all there to be there in support of, you know, all the other graduates and those even who join us in the chat who are getting their bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degrees. So, you know.
We have some, you know, recent graduates that have joined us here and recently on broadcast as well. Very proud of you. And it's going to be May 7th, a week coming from this Saturday. So, looking forward to it. For students, check your student portal. You'll have a countdown clock right there. Invite your friends and family. We're looking forward to it.
We are. Thanks, Michael. Great night. Thanks, everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my outro little joke, as opposed to a wonderful reminder, and I even had a note here, remember this, to talk about the graduation. My joke was going to be, well, it's the dog's getting into things he shouldn't, so that means it's time to wrap up our broadcast. And, you know, I think there's a few things we've been tossing around for ideas, Dr. Vicky, right? And we're going to announce it ahead of time, and you'll get a little teaser in your email. But looking forward to you joining us next week. Looking forward to another interesting discussion. Time flies, and I love kind of just tackling these deep issues, so... any final thoughts?
No, I, you know, hang in there, everybody.
Always.
We're all learning. We're always. All trying to figure it out.
So true. So true. Thank you, everybody. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.